that we may be also glorified together. We're going through, saints of God, and these scriptures are to show us just what we're supposed to do, just how God has made us, and that we are royalty according to God Himself. He made us a part of His royal family. And saints of God, you don't, it doesn't get any better than that. Proverbs, we're going to go back to Romans 16, and it verifies. We just want to just tell you that it verifies that we are the children of God, and that we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So when we go before God in prayer, these scriptures will give us the confidence that God will hear us and that God will meet our needs. No matter what the needs are, God will meet our needs. We can come boldly before the throne of God, knowing that we can obtain grace and mercy in our time of needs. We just need to know this. The church is perishing for the lack of knowledge.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bear. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bear. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bear or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 588.
But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you, Jesus.
Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1. Deeper, deeper, the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And I just want to lift out verse 36, if you will. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Recorded are these words: "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." May the Lord bless His word. You may be seated in His presence. This word says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, "Let us go on." Let us go on. One of the things, my brothers and sisters, as the writer of the Hebrews point out in the verses that precede verse 36, are some pretty interesting things as he really calls them to remember the former days and things that they encountered. If you begin at verse 32, where it says, "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great flight of a fight rather of afflictions, partly while ye were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while ye became companions of them that were so used. You were put to a public shame when you came to Christ. And if you've ever, ever really stood up for the Lord after being in a place and with people who were not with the Lord, it's amazing many of the things that were thought and said and done as a result of you coming out from among them, how folk looked at you then differently, how they treated you differently, how you suffered affliction from many time family folk who thought you were foolish for your convictions, for your contributions, for your commitment. And it's amazing how he brings them back to that place to help them be reminded of the fact that you, if you belong to the Lord, are gonna have to go through some trouble. You're going to have some struggles. Don't get it twisted, don't be mistaken. Be assured of the fact that if you belong to the Lord, that you're gonna have some situations in this world because of the dislike of the world for your Savior, so will it be concerning you. Now notice he says again, verse 34, for ye had compassion on me in my bonds and looked joyfully and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. He was saying, now listen, when I was going through, he said, you helped me. He said, you took what was good and what was beneficial to you, and you used it for the support of the ministry. But here was the real thing that motivated you to do that. It was because you knew that in doing this, it would garner treasures in heaven for you. You see, my brothers and sisters, when people understand that what they have comes from the Lord, and when they yield it for the use of the Lord, that it provides for them heavenly treasures in addition to more earthly treasures here on earth, they don't mind giving with a cheerful and a loving spirit. There is nothing more I believe God hates than stingy, grudging, I mean, and folk who give with attitude. Now that is nowhere reflective anyway of the goodness and the blessings of God in our lives. God doesn't treat us like that. Even when we don't deserve it, he still lovingly gives to us, ministers to us, take us in within himself and give to us the things that we should desire because he loves us that much. And that's one of the things about folk when they love, how they give with a spirit of desiring to bless you. Not because you're worthy, not because it's something you even desire, but because they know it will elevate your life and it will bring you to another place. The giver then brings that blessing upon your life, as God has done so many times in our lives. Paul is saying, if we will, if he is ascribed to this writing, that these are the things you should not forget, because what they're going to do is help you to understand when you're going through, why you're going through, because greater is he that is in you that will challenge and change and conquer and control every situation that you deal with. But you've got to realize there is a purpose for it. And you will never ever come to the place God wants you to be if you are not tried in the fire, if you are not tested, and if you do not come out true. Look at this. I want you to see this. It says, again, verse 34, for ye had compassion on me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a what? Better and an enduring substance. Man, when you give up this little stuff here, it's like, no, what I've got in heaven is far better and it's enduring. I mean, what I've got here is going to leave me, but what I got in heaven will never, ever leave. Listen to what he says now. Verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which had great recompense of reward. You see, when you're confident about what God has said to you, when you're confident about what God is doing through you, when you're confident about where God has brought you from, when you're confident that God uses you for his glory, and if he gets the glory, what are you going to get? The goods. When you are confident about this reality, you will be careful not to throw away that confidence, because what he has done once He can do it again and again and again and again because his word does not change. If his word doesn't change, then I have every right to stand wholeheartedly on that word and not fear falling, not fear being lost, not fear being made a fool of, not fear being rejected, because the confidence I have is in the fact that God is backing up his word. How many times has the Lord spoken to your heart, told you to do something, and because it was outside of your realm of comfort, your confidence was kind of small. And because it was small, you started second guessing God, or you started delaying. God told you to say a certain thing, but you got scared because you didn't know how they were going to receive it. God told you to do a certain thing. Be like, Lord, I don't know how they're going to take it if I do that. I don't want them to think I think. It don't matter what you think if God told you to do a certain thing. You don't know how God has positioned the heart. And this is one of the things that I love about God. The confidence is that if God speaks to me and says to me to say a thing, to do a thing, to give a thing, to be in a place, to help a brother or a sister or whatever it is, if I know God has said this, he has already prepared the heart of the person he has sent me to. That's one of the things that you need to realize. Listen, when God sends you, he's prepared the place that he's sending you to receive you. And if they do not receive you, they cannot deny that he sent you. And what you need to know is your confidence is not in them, but your confidence is in him. He's bringing many of these things to their remembrance because of what they've suffered, because of what they've gone through, because of what they've dealt with. But he's trying to get them to hold on to the truth and the fact that all of that should work for your greater confidence, because when you have that kind of confidence in God, there is a recompense, there is a reward for you who truly trust him. Man, when you step out on faith, nobody but Peter, other than Jesus, could say, I walked on water, because God rewarded me for my confidence in him. Not in myself, but my confidence in him. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, sometimes God will tell you to do stuff that seems crazy to the natural mind. So this can't be God, because this is crazy. Well, you know, when you try to put logic against revelation, you'll be confused many days, because your mind is not his mind and your thoughts are not his thoughts. So if that's the case, your ways are not his ways. In other words, you wouldn't handle it like that. And because you wouldn't handle it like that, you think God doesn't handle it like that. And so you've got to realize God doesn't bend his way to your way of thinking. He wants you to bend your way to his way of thinking, because his way is the right way. And as a matter of fact, he has seen the end from the beginning. You just stuck in the present now. And at best, your view is only as expanded as your past experiences. God sees the past, God sees the present, and God knows the future. Can you say you do? No, of course not. So look at what he says. He says very clearly, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Now let's get to verse 36, for he says, for ye have need of patience. Now, this is important, because when he's talking about patience here, he's really talking about endurance. You have need of endurance. So the first thing he shares with us in this verse is revelation. Somebody say revelation. See, God reveals to you, your problem is you're not patient enough. Your problem is that you're not willing to go the long way, the long haul. You're not willing to endure until the situation is complete. You're not willing to run on and see what the end is going to be because you've had some setbacks. You've had some mistakes. You've had some falls. You've had some scrapes. You've had some bruises. You've had some heartaches. You've shed some tears. You've been made unhappy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He says, listen, you have got to get the revelation of this reality that you need patience. Listen at this. How many of us have given up on things God's spoken to us, told us, shared with us because we didn't like the way they were going? You ain't got to raise your hand. It's all of us. This can't be God. Why? Because it ain't going smoothly. This can't be God. Why? Because you don't see the manifestation of what he promised yet, and you've been running for Jesus a mighty long time. And then you, like Isaiah said, Lord, how long? How long? Lord, how long? I started in Jesus, and yet you say you're going through, but then you get tired and be like, look, Lord, how long is this going to last? I don't know how much more of this I can take. I mean, listen, Peter said, Lord, no matter how many of the rest of these brothers forsake you, turn their back, you can count on me. Jesus said, Peter, I really don't want to disappoint you, but before the cock crows, you will have denied me. Not once, not twice, but three times. Listen, we are in need of patience, of endurance, because listen at this, we will mess around and let the best thing that has ever happened to us get away from us. We will allow the promises of God, the benefits of God, the blessings of God to get away from us because we're not patiently enduring. Now I want you to see something. Revelation is the first part. God has said to you, you need patience. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need some patience. You say, well, I got some patience. Well, you ain't got enough. And the reason I say that is because the end has not yet come. So that means while you may have done good to this point, you still got some more to go. And you don't know what tomorrow holds, but he does. And when things don't look like they ought to look, here's what you need to say. God, I heard what you said, and I'm holding you to what you said, and I'm going to wait till my change comes. See, many of us don't have that kind of endurance, the ability to deal with hardships, the ability to do with those things that are inconvenient for us. Many times we are such an instant society. Everything has got to happen right now. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. Everything about what we desire has got to be an overnight reality, or else we lose hope and we lose focus and ultimately we lose the reward that God has for us. You see, one of the things that God, through patience, teaches us is that God wants to make sure that you are worthy of what he's bringing you into, and that what he's bringing you into is worthy of you. See, we go for such quick fixes, for stuff to be right because it looks right. It seems right. Don't want to go through no struggle. Don't want to deal with anything that causes us a little pain or a little suffering or a little sacrifice, because that means waiting on God. That means letting God work it out the way God wants to work it out. But if it doesn't happen for us like we want, then we're like ready to take it into our own hands and miss the mark every time. How many times have you gotten ahead of God and messed up and regretted your mess ups? There again, you ain't got to raise your hand, but credit all of us. Why is that important to realize? Because if we don't get the revelation that we need some patience, the devil, listen at this, and I want you to know this, every time the devil starts rushing you, it's because he's trying to ruin you. Every time the devil tries to make you think you got to make a decision right now. Come on, come on, come on. Make the decision right now. Why? The Bible say, be anxious for nothing. There's a reason why folk don't want you to be patient. Because if you are patient, you'll discover some things you did not and would not discover because you were rushing.
See, come on, just sign right down here. Yeah, you like that? That's a pretty car. Yeah, that is. You ain't got to worry about all this. It's just our standard agreement. You start. Wait, let me read it. Yeah, that car sure look like you. Yeah, did I go over those features with you? Wait, I'm reading right now. Well, what about this here? Well, see what that really means. Right? That's not no really. You know, nobody. You don't pay no attention to that. That's just no. But that's in writing. And that means when I sign this, I'm responsible for this. So if I don't agree with this, then we need to change the language in the writing before I sign. Because if I sign before I change it, then I'm held to what I sign. So don't rush me. I want to make sure that I'm making the right decisions. And when folk rush you, my brothers and sisters, it's because they don't want you to discover some flaw that they may be hiding that will cause you, if you discover it, to change your mind. Tell your neighbor, don't rush. If you love me. Yeah, if you love me, you'll let me take my time and make the right decision. I could keep going, but I think you get the point. So Revelation, somebody say Revelation. Listen to what he says, because for ye have need of patience. Man, that's revelation to a whole lot of folk. But patient endurance is literally the understanding here. You say, well, I've got some patience, but you need patience to endure. You need patient endurance. Endurance. That means to be able to go to the end, to see what the end is going to be. Endure. And it's important to recognize that. But there's another part that is to be played here. Look at what this word says. And he, or rather, that after ye have done the will of God, that after ye have done the will of God. Now, this is important because this is the realization of your responsibility to God. You see, a whole lot of us want God to do. Without us doing what God has assigned for us to do. God is not under warrant to do anything for us that he's not obligated authoritatively, arbitrarily, and absolutely himself to do because of him. But when there is a point where there is a dual responsibility, which means you got your part to play and God has his part to play, if you don't do your part, God does not have to do his part. Because there are some conditions based and predicated upon you fulfilling your end of the bargain. And so when you can't patiently endure, when you can't wait on God, when you can't trust God, when you can't try God, when you can't triumph in God, God doesn't have to do what he said he would do if you did your part. That's right. And so listen to what it says again, that after, somebody say after. That after ye have done. That's the important part right there. The will of God. Not after you have done your will, not after you have done it your way, but that after ye have done the will of God. Now, this is what's important, because it's literally giving us a helpful holy hint. He's saying you're going to really need some patience. Listen at this. We think, and this word is endurance, really translated, we think that the patience we need literally comes before we do what we're supposed to do. And you need some patience then. You do. But you know when you're really going to need the patience? When you've done what you're supposed to do. Because once you do what you're supposed to do, it's harder than to sit back and just wait. See, somebody has already done what God has said to do, and now the harder part, more than doing the will of God, is now waiting to what God has promised us comes to pass. Yeah. Yeah. See, listen, we get excited. Oh, the Lord told me to do such and such a thing, and when I do such and such, he's going to bless me with such and such a thing. Look, Jeremiah knew about that.
All right.
Jeremiah was called as a young boy, given an assignment, told what he must do. And as he started doing what God told him to do, he then recognized that God hadn't yet done his part. He got so upset with God after having done the will of God that he decided, after being locked in a dungeon, that he couldn't take it no more. He couldn't wait no more because God had him in derision. In other words, he felt like God had played him, had made a fool of him, because he did what God told him to do, and yet God didn't show up when he wanted him to. And see, the devil starts messing with you, make you feel like a fool after you've given your heart, after you've done your share, after you've contributed, after you've let go, after you've released, after you've been what you're supposed to be, and you don't see the end unfold like it ought to. The devil say, I told you that wasn't God. Then you start trying to make stuff happen yourself, when you have to learn how to patiently endure after you have done the will of God. Tell somebody you got to wait after you've done your part.
Yes, sir.
My question then becomes, how long I got to wait? Because I'm missing out. Other folk getting theirs and going on, and I'm still waiting. That don't make no sense. I've realized the will of God for my life. I've done what God has told me to do. Why isn't it manifested now? Let me throw you into a place of faithful looking. You've got to realize that after you have done the will of God and you are patiently enduring until he finishes what he's doing for you, the reason it's taking longer than you first believed is because what he's got for you is so magnanimous. It is so far beyond what you have asked him or what you thought you were going to get. As a matter of fact, he has supersized your request. And he's preparing something greater than you could ever realize. And if you rush the process, which you really can't do on God's part, you try to hurry God, and God's still working on your situation. But I got news for you. If you just hold yourself together and say, God, I'm going to wait on you because I know your best that you've designed for me is going to bless my life. And no matter how long I think this wait may be, it's going to be worth every minute I've waited on you. You can't go on until you get what God's got for you. So if you can't go on until you get what God's got for you, my question is, what you're rushing for? If you cannot get what God has for you until he gives it to you, what are you wrestling and worrying and wandering for? Yes, so you get in more trouble when you can't just sit and wait on it.
That's right. That's right.
Because then you get to running and you start being involved in all kinds of things, and the devil starts putting all kinds of tracks and trips and all of that mess in your way, and he tries to get your focus off of God, and he tries to make you think, well, maybe the plan has changed. No, the plan never changed. God don't change his mind. Sit down and wait on it.
Yes, sir.
The last part of this word is reward. After the revelation, after the realization, comes the reward. Look at the end of verse 36. It says, ye might receive the promise. Listen again. For ye have need of patience, revelation, that after ye have done the will of God, realization, ye might receive the promise, reward. God's going to reward you for your patient endurance. Don't matter what you might lose in the process. The reason why God was making you wait was because the stuff that's not real can't wait with you. Somebody didn't get that. And so sometimes folk that say they're with you and they're going all the way and let's go on and all of that, and when you're like, what you waiting for? I'm waiting on instructions. Well, you know where we're going. Yeah, but that's not just knowing where I'm going. It's knowing when to go where I'm going. Well, that don't make no sense. Well, how long are we going to sit here and waste time? Can I tell you, you never waste time when you wait on God. See, because what you don't understand is if you get in a hurry, even though you know where you're going, and God hadn't said take the step yet, what God knows is there's an accident waiting to happen. There's some stuff that's in the way that he's got to move out, clear out, or there are some things that you will endure that you didn't need to endure because you wouldn't wait on God or hear from God or get your moving instructions from God.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement